listen to what they're saying about Brutalitopia.
Fuck you, Brutalitopia!
Fuck you, Joe!
This is Brett from Paul Bear. Brutalitopia fucking sucks. Don't listen to it. Seriously, turn this off right now.
This is Josh from Royal Thunder, and I don't know why the fuck you're listening to Brutalitopia, this shitty podcast.
Welcome to the Brutalitopia podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the Brutalitopia podcast, podcast number 7 here. Took a little bit of a hiatus, but we are back. We've got a very special episode for you today. I am, of course, Mick, and with me today I have both Durf and Tom, also from the Brutalitopia crew here. Durf and Tom, I give it to you now to fight over who says hello first and how you say hello.
Hola, Interneto.
Hello, Internet.
And with us as well is no stranger to the Brutalitopia podcast, but our listeners wouldn't know that because he was a part of the legendary long lost Brutalitopia podcast that never saw the light of day, but hopefully this one will. Of course, is Keith Spillett from the Tyranny of Tradition. Keith, welcome back.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man. Good. It feels like such a long time since that last podcast.
I met you.
Yo, that last podcast was great, man. But that was like, it was the lost episode. It's so weird. It's like, we went on for hours. We ended up talking about Zubaz pants for the entire time.
Oh,
anyway, God. I remember that.
Oh, we'll bring that back.
Yeah, yeah, okay. We'll do that.
I did want to restate again, Keith, just because it's you, and this is the other time we're doing this, I am wearing my Danzig 2 shirt, which means I am still not wearing a shirt.
I was listening to that last episode before we all got online here, and one of the things I found that was funny, Keith, that you said, it's like, yeah, the Mets still suck, and it's like, man, that much time has passed.
Yeah, like, but it was all weird with the Mets because, like, last year, they really did suck for about half the year, and then all of a sudden they got Cespedes, and they couldn't stop.
Turned down the Jets.
Yeah, no kidding. It was weird. It was just like, oh, okay, now they're in the World Series. That's cool.
You know, well, the other weird thing is now, too, Keith, is I really, really want to kill Daniel Murphy, and I really shouldn't even be that upset, but every fucking time now, he just kills us.
I say I like the Murph. I can't help it. He was my second favorite.
No,
Met,
I loved
you know?
Him too. But and like this is bullshit. Now
I know. I'm happy for the guy though. I'm just happy we got Reyes back too. Like because he's my all time. I mean, the last 20 years probably my favorite Met. I mean, you know, obviously he did some stuff he shouldn't have done and everything like that. But also I love watching the guy play, so I'm happy. You know.
Now for our listeners, Keith, who don't know what the Tyranny of Tradition is. I would say it's kind of metal's equivalent of The Onion, but in your own words, how would you describe it?
Oh, we make stuff up about people. I mean, it's basically it, you know, like we just sort of, it's a bunch of just like random, I mean, you know, something's in the news and then, you know, we somehow link it to heavy metal and then make up ridiculous stories about it. It's kind of fun. You know, I mean, we've been in a slow period lately. I'm sort of in self-imposed exile right now. I'm on the island of Elba and I don't have a computer or anything like that. They basically told me I couldn't write any more articles for a while. So it was the whole Texas hippie coalition thing. I wrote some article where I made fun of them. Those guys threatened my life. Kidnap my kids.
Time to lay low for a little
yeah,
while.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what those guys look like, right? I mean, they show up at your front door, you listen, you know? So.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
Absolutely, man.
Have you been hoarding a bunch of material, that being said, in your exile?
Oh, no, I haven't been doing a goddamn thing. I honestly just, you know, you go through stretches, I think you guys probably have experienced this where you're right, where you're just like, I don't really have anything I really want to say, you know? And so what I've gotten good about is when I get in those periods, I just don't write for a while because, you know, you start to get where you're forcing it and you're trying to make things happen that just aren't there and it gets formulaic and you get bored of it and stuff. So, you know, I just said, you know, if I feel like writing again, I'll write again. You know, it's not like it's a job, you know, it's just
a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing, you know.
Man,
I feel like
talking to Keith right now is listening to Michael Ackerfeld's Inner Logic right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, you know. I don't know. Although, yeah, I don't know, man. Did you ever see those guys live?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, when I saw him live, and I'll never see him again because of this, like, I love air conditioning. I can't stand heat. So I'm in Atlanta. It's like August. I'm watching these guys play. He's got the air conditioning off in the place because it, like, hurts his vocal cords. I'm like, you're in a death metal band, man. Who cares, you know?
Right.
I mean, like, I don't know. So you know, that pissed me off. But that was random. I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
Isn't Atlanta in the summer like the seventh circle of hell?
Yeah, it's basically why I'm not there right now. I'm in the sixth circle of hell up here in Minnesota, land of the unironic mullet. you know, so it's all right.
I would also like to declare my loyalty to Team Anti-Air Conditioning right now. I fucking hate air conditioning.
Do you really? What the hell is wrong with you? Really?
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't.
I know this is off topic. It has nothing to do with Mel, but what the hell is wrong with you? Why do you not? Air conditioning is like the only reason I wouldn't want to live in the 1700s is they don't have air conditioning. You know?
That's another topic right there of why the other reasons you would want to live in the 1700s. I don't like it, man. I prefer just turning on some fans and having some good air circulation. I don't know. I don't like air conditioning.
I don't know what that is.
You don't
man.
Live on the East Coast. You don't know shit about humidity, my friend.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't grow up in St. Louis, Missouri, Satan's asshole of swamp ass and heat and mugginess.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't understand that. See, the only people I've ever met who are weird about air conditioning are New Yorkers, man. Like, every New Yorker I know is like, it could be like 150 degrees, and like, it's like, no. 5 more degrees, we turn it on. You know, it's like, okay.
Well, I mean, that's how my parents were growing up. It's like, you know, it's 82 degrees in the house, and they're like, nah, if it hits 90, we'll turn on the AC. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Well, I'm going to go find some shade and a fan.
Yeah. I guess
you could say
it's
a hot button issue.
Hey, now.
God damn it.
You know what's weird? My kid now, like, he's gotten a sense of humor where he does, he's into puns. And what he does is he has a sarcastic thing he does if I have a bad pun. I don't know. Did you ever see Citizen Kane? Where
yes.
The scene where, like, his wife is singing the opera and she's really awful and he just gets up and he's like.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's my son does that to me anytime I say something stupid. I'm like, he just looks at me and gives me the slow, awkward, really hard
that's
clap.
Awesome.
I'm like, thanks. Yeah. So.
So yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So you know.
Well, back
it's
to
a
the
sled, by the way. Just
don't do that, son of a. Yeah, don't do that, man. No. I don't know. All right. Yeah.
Well, one of the articles I did see recently on the tyranny and tradition that I think is pertinent right now is Putin to Obama, you know, talking about Swedish metal being, I think he said it was more important than, what was the other guy in that article?
Oh, I didn't read it. I have no idea.
Researching.
I just wrote, didn't write.
Yeah, no, I told you. I got some other people who come in and do some stuff. That was Japanese.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
How many other people do you have?
Probably like 2 or 3 people who do stuff regular. When I'm just off, I just, you know, basically turn it over to them. They're all really good writers. So,
Okay.
So that was Jeff, and he's a phenomenal writer. And that one was a few months ago, and it was, the idea was that, just sort of a re-breaking out of the Cold War over heavy metal, which I thought was a brilliant angle. So, you know.
Yeah, I've got the article up right now, and it's Putin to Obama, Swedish metal is superior.
Yeah, it is.
I thought that was great.
He's holding a picture of an Entombed album.
Yeah, I know. But you could see him getting into Entombed, though. You know, I mean, I don't know. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I like Entombed. You guys like Entombed? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Although I heard that new Entombed AD CD, I heard like one song and it sounded horrendous.
I have not listened to that.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's one of those bands that has, like, about 5 or 6 albums that I just love that are, like, way past, you know, they had their prime where everybody was into them, and then they put out a bunch of albums that nobody bought, and they're all great, you know? So.
Who do you think in the current political landscape where people fall in terms of their metal leanings?
Well, that's a good question.
Wait, I didn't hear. Can you repeat? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, so, like, currently, like, I guess we'll stick to the election. Who do you think, you know, Trump and Hillary fall in terms of their metal
leanings? Forget Jill Stein and Gary Johnson. Don't be a two-party shill.
Okay, fine.
Don't be a two-party shill.
fine.
Trump would probably, I would say any about Burzum probably. Hillary probably like Blind Guardian. Jill Stein, let's see, where would we go with Jill? That's harder. Jill Stein would be, let's see, I don't know, probably the Carpenters. What the hell would Gary Johnson be? I don't know, I don't know. I'm done. I'm Texas Hippie Coalition, probably.
Whatever they told him to like.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't screw with those guys, man. I'm just saying.
Have you had contact with them before? This seems like something that you know very well from experience.
So before I went into my fifth retirement, I wrote some Texas Hippie Coalition article where, like, basically I wrote this article. It was when that Montana metal, when the Montana whatever thing had gotten taken over, like the kooks took over some wildlife preserve or something. So I wrote some article, and you know, the article was basically about some metalheads taking over something, and like the picture, all the pictures I used with Texas Hippie Coalition, but I never mentioned them by name. And then so I got some email from the sister of the guy in the Texas Hippie Coalition, like, and she was like, well, like, they think that, you know, the Texas Hippie Coalition is like a terrorist group now. And I'm like, no, that's not what I meant. I was like, they're cool, I like them, I don't mean anything. So, you know, I'm like, you know, I don't want to get death threats from those guys. I mean, I can get death threats from some bands. I'm okay with that. But, you know, I don't know. Texas Hippie Coalition is not one I want to get death threats from. You know?
So,
I'm reading that article right now, and it's really fucking funny.
Yeah.
So, that being said, how many... Like, how often do you get, like, those types of threats from, like, bands that you write about?
Well, most people are pretty cool about it. You'll have situations where people are pissed off. The best one for me was when the Slayer press representative, I wrote some article about Slayer years back, and, like, the Slayer press representative went bananas, and she, like, issued a statement that the band wasn't involved in this thing. It was like that they were going to pray. I thought it was kind of a dopey article. I thought it was well written. I thought the title was kind of obvious. It was, you know, like that Slayer was going to go in and protest at Fred Phelps's funeral from the Westboro Baptist Church, you know. And the article was kind of fun to do, you know, because like basically the whole idea was, you know, how like there's this, you know, everybody, you know, feels really put upon, and everybody, you know, sort of,
right,
even groups that don't have any, you know, real gripe with the world, like, you know, call on, like, you know, in the article, one of the characters described Fred Phelps as, like, you know, the Harvey Milk for bigots, you know? and so, you know, it's like, you know, so the article was kind of fun. But anyway, so Nick, I got an email from the Slayer, you know, representative, and she was like, oh, it's not true. If you knew Slayer, you knew that they would never do that. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know Slayer. I don't want to know Slayer. I wouldn't have those dudes over my house, you know?
Like, I feel like the guy from Slayer, probably the only person in music who takes himself more seriously than any of the guys from Slayer, is Scott Stapp.
Oh yeah, well, that guy's out of his friggin' mind. You know,
right.
I mean,
but I don't.
I hear he's a very giving man. He's usually around with arms wide open.
Nice.
No, it was cool though. I see him once in a while, actually. Every time I swear, he has got the sign out.
Like in a
work
social
for
setting?
Food. No. He panhandles down the street from me. And what I do is like I give him a dollar every time, and I make him sing a little Eyes Wide. It's really cool. He's nice. You know. Did you ever hear that freaking song you wrote for the Marlins? Like, he wrote a song for the Miami Marlins, and it was actually worse than anything he had ever done, which is, you know.
Well, look what team he's writing it for. I mean, the team's biggest fan is Jeffrey Loria and that lawyer dude who goes to every fucking postseason game.
Yeah.
Dick Vitale loves the Marlins. No, he loves the Rays. I'm sorry. He loves the Rays.
That's right. Yeah, okay. I was going to say the Marlins. Nobody loves the Marlins. People on the Marlins hate the Marlins. I mean, it's just, they're horrendous. Loria is a dirtbag, though. I hate that guy.
He's a scumbag piece of shit. He's the reason the fucking Montreal Expos don't exist anymore.
Exactly. And I mean, one of the great hustles of all time was he's trying to get a new stadium deal, so he signs a whole bunch of free agents. The schmucks down in Florida give him the stadium, and then he dumps everybody three
Trades
months later. I'm
Trades
like, this guy's fantastic. I mean, that is an all-time great hustle, you know? And
it's a fucking swindle and a half.
Yeah, have you guys heard the reports of Jose Fernandez and what he does in Miami? literally, whenever he sees Jeffrey Loria, whether it's like in the locker room, whether it's across an office, across the field, wherever, he just screams like, "Loria, when the fuck are you going to trade me?"
Okay. I think the
only time he didn't say that is when his grandmother got brought over from Cuba to like see him again. Do you know that story?
Yeah, I heard that story.
Yeah, no, the Loria arranged for his mother to come over from Cuba to visit him in Miami because she hadn't seen him since he came over here. It's a really touching story, but I think they had a whole bunch of other Cuban players on that boat. But the reason they were really able to get him over here is because of his grandmother.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
His story about how he and his mother got into the U.S. is crazy.
I think Ulieski Goriel is one who was piloting that boat.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard any of these stories. I don't even know how do you even get news about the Marlins? It doesn't come on my computer. They play the Mets. They put up a blurb or something like
they
that.
I think they have a Morse code signal or smoke signals coming out of the top of Marlin Stadium when the roof is open.
It's a really special section on ESPN.
I could pick that up being on the same coast.
That's cool though. I mean, once they start putting that team on TV, I think they're going to take off. You know, it's one of those deals. You know,
yeah,
just
waiting for their break. This really good guy on their team named Jeff Conine. He's getting ready to go nuts.
Yeah, he's going to be a
star. The future, man.
Him and Chris Coughlin, man.
I hear they call him Mr. Marlin, much like Al Kaline is Mr. Tiger.
Okay, now you took it too far.
No, that was good. No, I was thinking Al Kaline is Mr. Battery, though. You know, it's a long story. Anyway, sorry. Here's my kid, right? Yeah, there you go. Al Kaline battery jokes.
But I think I can put it together.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Like, I tend to mix a lot of, you know, most of the stuff I think about is just like random tangential stuff. But a lot of times I end up just, you know, having these weird baseball, like, you know, metal puns go through my head. And so, like, I was talking to somebody the other day about, you know, the band Sick of It All, obviously, and they have the singer Lou Collar. And so I said to him, yeah, I don't know how Lou Collar was able to, you know, to sing all those years and still be a backup second baseman for the Pirates. Pirates had a guy named Lou Collier. Again, you know, totally dead clap, you know, but it's sort of it's the hell that lives between my ears, you know.
Well, that's the thing, like, with puns, it's like you don't choose to think about them, they just choose to, like, invade your mind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was like yesterday, Keith, I know you had posted the article in Durf, I don't know if you had seen it too, it's the top 100 names in minor league baseball.
Oh, it was great.
I've not seen that.
The one I laughed about the hardest is because a friend of mine is big into wrestling. The guy's name was Nick Flair.
wasn't
even high on the list. It was just funny because of what his fucking name was.
I couldn't believe how many weird names were on that list. Like, Brooks Pounders was number 70. You know, like, that on any normal list.
There was the other guy's name whose name was Jose. Remember that?
That was the best one. Jose. I couldn't believe it.
Nothing will ever top the baseball name Rusty Kuntz, though.
Yeah, yeah, Dick Pohl also.
Dick Pohl is also a very
Yeah, I mean, they've had some great ones over the years. But there's another guy on the list who I think has the coolest name ever. He's a Pirates pitcher, and his name is Mr. Luciano. Which, if I had that name, I'd be like, cool.
He sounds like a gym teacher from friggin' New York or New Jersey.
Hey, it's Mr. Luciano.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, Mr. Luch.
Mr. Luch, yeah. Yeah, no, but I don't know, like, that list was absurd because, like, it was, you keep looking.
What about the Tigers guy at Pancake?
Yeah,
Joey Pancake.
Joey Pancake, yeah, and he was third.
There's a couple Tigers players on here, Xavier Javier.
Yeah. And, you know, the guy who was number one, I swear, it just looked like
Lancaster,
they hit the
keyboard. Chet Hawkins.
Sicknarth Loopstock?
Yeah, that was the number one.
Joey Pancake sounds like a fucking mobster.
Hey, Joey Pancake will take
Joey
care
Pancake.
Of you.
Yeah, it's over by Izzy the Nose and Roland Carpio.
The best part about the top one, Sicknarth Loopstock, was, you know, all I can hear is my brothers quoting Thundercats, because all I hear is snarf, you know, as they're going through that. At least the Mets had the number two guy.
Yeah, I didn't think his name was like, it was cool, but it wasn't.
Winningham.
Yeah, I just thought it was okay, you know. I mean, I don't know. Jose should have been number one.
Yeah, that's hands down. Like
Tito Polo.
What about
Marco
Rock
Polo,
Rucker?
A Hispanic cousin.
Well, Jose, it's like, you know what's great is like the parents made that choice. It's like, you know, it's like they were like, all right. Well,
it's like Rufnet Odor's brother, Rufnet Odor. Because if one isn't bad enough,
exactly.
Two is just,
you know,
I love Rufnet Odor, man.
Yeah,
I think he's great.
Best right hook in baseball.
God, that was what a good year for baseball fights. It's been.
Yeah, yeah. It has been. It has been.
I'm waiting for Bryce Harper to get mouthy with somebody on the Mets and then see somebody else knock him out.
Well, the best...
He's the new Chipper Jones.
Oh, don't say that. He's not that bad.
He kills the Mets pretty good. He's having fun with the Mets.
He's pretty good at being a douchebag.
But he's not Chipper Jones level of douchebag.
He doesn't have kids yet.
Yeah.
Well, that's because we got to wait for that at least.
He'll have a kid named City, I guess. What is that how he'll do it, or... I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. No, that'd be Giancarlo Stanton, except whenever Giancarlo Stanton gets a chance to opt out of Miami, which he will, because he's not stupid.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, but he owns the most home runs at Citi Field of any opposing player now.
Well, I don't even know why they pitched to him, man. I mean, he kills everything. You know, they base open. I just walked that guy, man. Not that
he hit four laser beams in 2 days earlier this week.
Oh, I saw the one he hit in the upper deck was ridiculous.
It was 113 mile an hour exit velocity. Yeah. That thing was ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, you know, I went to a Twins game while I was out here, and like I think I broke my pinky because I got a foul ball hit by Joe Mauer, and I tell everybody this story, and like people are like, okay, yeah, you know, it's possible, and they're like, oh, Joe Mauer hit it. There's no way it break your finger, you know. they hate Joe Mauer out here, you know. I don't blame him. I hate Joe Mauer.
Because,
I don't even live here.
Like, I mean,
he cashed in on the hometown discount.
Oh, well, yeah,
He took less money than he could have made in the open market. And it's just, you know, he had that one steroid added season, and now he'll never hit 15 home runs again.
Oh, no. And, well, you know what it was, too? It was like, you know, he was playing in the Homer Dome. And, I mean, I used to go games there, you know, go to games there.
You used to go, did you go hang out by the baggie in right field?
Oh, yeah. No, it's awesome. That was a great place to watch a game. I love the new stadium. I actually like the Homer Dome better. The ball would carry like anything, though. We sat over
I didn't know that was such a home run prone stadium. I watched too many National League games.
Yeah, no, like we would sit up and right.
I think the trash bag is going to be part of Tory Hunter's headstone.
Might be.
As a matter of fact, I think part of it is part of Kirby Puckett's.
Yeah. Well, the great mystery is how David Ortiz, when he was there, wasn't able to hit home runs. Because,
terrible.
You know, they had middle infielders hitting 20 home runs there, and Ortiz couldn't hit a home run. It was like, you know, didn't make sense. Orlando Cabrera could hit 17 there, and he couldn't. So.
I remember when the Yankees got rid of him, they had, like, Ruben Sierra there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Going back some time there with Yankee bench.
Yeah. No, but, you know, going back to baseball fights, I let, you know, Jonathan Papelbon, again, a guy I'm supposed to hate, I laugh so hard thinking about this guy because, you know, the whole, first of all, the interview that got him basically tossed out of Philadelphia was I don't know if you guys heard this story, but some guy was talking to him and asking him questions like, how does it feel to be a Philly? And he's like, what do you mean, like a horse? And he's like, right. No, a Philly. He's like a horse, a filly. Like, how does it feel to be a horse? It feels good to be a horse. And they're like, no, a filly. And he keeps saying the same thing. So anyway, so he's a little nuts. So, you know, last year he tried to strangle Bryce Harper. So
God bless him.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, I just wish they hadn't stopped it. But but the greatest nickname in baseball, hands down, is they call him the DC Strangler now. Which
God, that's good.
I heard that. I last saw it. I'm like, that's great. You know. So,
Well, Keith, I don't know if you know, but I was at the game where he grabbed his crotch at the crowd. It was a Phillies Marlins game. He comes in a 3-0 game. He leaves. It's now a 4-3 game, and the fans are booing. And he just grabs his crotch. And then the best part was like whatever Philadelphia local paper it was. It says what a. And then they just had the picture of him grabbing his dick.
I was there. This was going way back, but I was actually there at the game.
We had the vet.
No, this was at Yankee Stadium. I was at the game where Blackjack McDowell flipped off the entire Yankee crowd. And, like, people went nuts. They were chucking shoes at him. It was great. It was really funny. I don't know. It was a, you know, it's one of those things. But that guy had a really bad band. I don't know. I don't know if you guys even remember that guy. He was a good pitcher in the American League back in the 80s. And he had a god-awful freaking, like, anytime a baseball player supposedly is a musician, you can almost rest assured that they suck.
Does it make it extra
at the music or at baseball?
Usually music, but baseball. I mean, Bronson, you ever heard Bronson Arroyo play guitar? It's terrible. I mean,
no, but I've heard Barry Zito play
about
guitar.
Country Joe West?
And that's awful.
Country Joe's got his own like singing career. He's hyping that shit up when he's blowing calls in Yankee Red Sox games.
I don't know. All I know is the Bronson Arroyo thing sounded like it was like an acoustic version of Puddle of Mud. I mean, it was terrible. I was like, oh god. Supposedly though, down in Atlanta, the guy Jace Peterson, who's the second baseman, is like a metalhead and is a big drummer. So you know, but then again, I heard that about Piazza for years, and I've never really.
Piazza was, you know, he was infamous for showing up at like Overkill shows like up here.
That I didn't know. I heard Metallica
hang out with
once.
Like Bobby Blitz or something.
No,
like that.
Really? Okay, that's cool. Yeah, they should put him in the Hall of Fame.
I'll have to find that.
Yeah, that's very cool. I didn't know that.
That's an interesting thought. Who would make a good like metal super group of baseball players?
Sean Doolittle from the A's. You know, he's a big metalhead.
Okay, who is the guy?
What would they sound like?
Mark Trumbo's into, I don't know if he's into metal, but he's into, like, heavier rock. I know that.
Well, who was the guy? There was a guy, Scott Radinsky, who used to pitch back in the 90s, early 90s, was a reliever, was the lead singer from a punk band called 10-Foot Pole. And, like, he used to just, they were actually for really good. They were on Epitaph Records. And, you know, he's freaking, but he went by Scott Pull My Finger as a singer, which is a true story, you know, so.
Oh, yeah, there's Keith. I found a video of Mike Piazza singing Elimination with Overkill.
No, you didn't. Stop.
Shut up.
Yes, I
no, there's no, that can't be real. No,
dude,
okay,
go
send
check
me that.
Skype, go check the Skype chat right now.
Dude, I don't even this is.
I think we're birthing your next article here.
I don't know how to use this Skype. I this is like the second time I've used Skype. The first time was that podcast.
So it's been at least like a year and a half.
All right, what am I doing? I pressed the button. It just brought up some avatar, like some. Who's the guy? Who's got the what is it? The Pokemon guy on his thing? I don't know.
The best part is Bobby's intro to that. He says that they paid him a lot of money. He's probably one of the craziest thrash metal guys I think I've ever heard speak.
Does he have totally like a out of his crazy mind. Voice?
Bobby Blitz, yeah. You have to watch some of his interviews. They're pretty funny.
Is Keith still on?
I wonder if he muted his microphone to listen to Mike Piazza sing
with
Overkill.
I think he threw him a curveball with that video.
a curveball? Did I get a 10 XP bonus for that?
So where were we?
I don't even know, man.
We're talking about Mike Piazza and Overkill.
Yeah, that was cool. I couldn't find
took
that.
Took down power.
Yeah, that's seriously.
That's how cool it is.
All right, insert power surge joke here.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Everybody was trying to find out how to do it.
There was a lot of electro violence on the bill.
There you go. Yeah. I told my son I walked out when the power was out. I said, I stole your joke, man. I stole your, he was like, cool. I was like, yeah.
How old's your oldest son?
He's 9.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's 9. I got a 9-year-old, 7-year-old. My daughter's 7. She'll be 10 if I tell her to be, you know?
My son's 15 months going on 2, so.
Oh, yeah, man. So you're starting to sleep again. That's nice.
That's a nice thought, but no.
Yeah, no. I
he's still finishing up the teeth.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's a lot scarier than that Swans album cover makes it out to be.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. This is so outside of the realm of stuff that would be interesting to the podcast audience, but like,
dude, we've just broken that dam. We're way past that.
Well, you start to learn about such weird things when you get kids, like those breast pump machines they have, which are the craziest thing in the world. Because you just hear this noise in the middle of the night, like boom, 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 boom. You're like, what the hell is that? And it's like all of a sudden it's you know what's happening.
Do either of your kids have musical tastes yet, Keith?
Okay, yeah, actually, this is kind of funny. We have, I don't play him a lot of, I don't play him a lot of metal. I got different stuff, like I have little playlists I made for him and just stuff to listen to. But the one song they love is Symptom of the Universe by Black Sabbath, because what I did was I changed all the lyrics to it, and we made it, all the lyrics are about birthday parties. So, we have this, we have this whole thing, the kids are like, oh, play the birthday song, my son made me sing the version we had of it at his birthday party last year. So we all did Symptom of the Universe, and I was doing the version we had. It's ridiculous. And no, I'm not going to do it on here because it's way too stupid, But the kids absolutely love that song. So I'm like, I start them off with a good tune,
Hell yeah, man.
Slowly ease them in.
Although the one thing I'll throw in random songs on my son's playlist, because he'll hear me listen to metal and they'll just be like, huh, I threw some Blue Oyster Cult songs on, stuff like that. But I put the first song off the first Suffocation album on there.
Oh, God.
And he thinks it's the funniest thing he's ever heard. He's, if you heard the song, it's Legion of Inferocity. It's it really is. It's hysterical. It's a great song.
That album is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like one of my favorite albums, but it's also one of the silliest albums I've ever heard,
Yeah.
It's just the vocals, Frank Mullen's out of his mind. But
you know what would even be better, Keith? Better would be having Frank Mullen do his albums as spoken word, because that guy's voice is ridiculous.
Oh my God.
He's such a Long Island guy.
Oh, yeah.
It's so totally nuts.
Well, and he goes on these, when I saw him open, I think I saw him open for, Carcass years ago or something like that. And
so did I. Yeah, that's when I saw him.
That was the last time I was, he'll just go on and on and on during the mic breaks about, I don't even know what he's talking about, but he's going on for, five
I don't
minutes,
think he, I
you
mean,
know?
He, when I saw them, it was a huge tour. They were the headline right next to them. It was them, Carcass, Aborted, Necrophagist, 1349, Rotten Sound. It was a big bill.
Okay.
But there was seriously a hurricane coming through the area, and I had just gotten out of my job in Jersey, hopped a train over to Manhattan, and he's like, yeah, I got these death metal motherfuckers out here. You got trees falling down in the street. You motherfuckers are the only ones that carry around chainsaws. You're cutting through that shit to come here and see our show. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's great. I said, I knew he's from New York, but I'm like, dude,
yeah,
you are such a Long Island guy. It's it was painful to listen to him, because I know that they say that about us from Jersey when we get into our little spiel, how we sound, but man, Long Island's a rough accent.
Oh, terrible. Yeah.
Staten Island might be the worst, though.
I just in general.
Staten Island?
Oh, Staten Island's horrible. Staten Island's horrible. It's like, and it's
or the Bronx. I work with a lady from the Bronx.
Oh, no, don't say nothing about the Bronx. Don't say nothing. No.
Well, you don't want me to say anything about her?
Don't say nothing. Okay? I'm
about
just saying.
The Boogie Down Bronx?
The BX. Don't say nothing about the Boogie Down.
Nothing about the Boogie Down.
I'm kidding. You're okay. You can say anything you want about the Bronx. I've been there in 10 years, man.
She starts talking about all these women, and she's like, yeah, I don't know what to do with her. And then we're like, how do you spell that? She's like, fuck you.
Well, I've been in the South for it's almost 20 years now.
And it certainly doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, I know.
Can tell you that.
Well, my students all the time, and I'll be teaching, I'll be like, all right, well, you got to be done with this by 3 o'clock. And they'll be like, but by what? The other one is, I taught geography for a while at one point, and the kids would just, anytime the word peninsula came up, because I can't say, you're supposed to say it mamby-pamby, like peninsula, and it's it's the peninsula. I mean, the kids were like, what? What are you talking about?
Where are you from?
Yeah. So,
what's the matter? You kids don't got no pichinil,
What's the matter with you? Hey. And I'd go through. I don't know if you ever saw the sketch, the bit in the bit in Casino where Pesci for 45 seconds is just, yeah, I know it's Chicago, but it's same difference. But he's like, yeah, I'm over here now, and they're like, what, you're over here now? And it's like, yeah, it's balloon heads, don't understand. I'm over here now. You're over here. I'm over here now. Yeah. I was over there, but now I'm over here. And so I mean,
it sounds like you almost
your whole
He was almost like starting a song there. Like there was rhythm to that. Like that could have
well,
easily
Keith,
looped
your whole
back
existence sounds like Pesci and My Cousin Vinny.
Oh yeah, no, it is actually, and with like brief interludes of like, you know, the first Life of Agony album, you know, those like interludes where they're like screaming at each yeah. other in the house, like turn off the fan, you know, and like
oh my god, yeah.
It's like
and she finds him dead upstairs.
Yeah. And you know, but my wife's from Minnesota, and she's got this. She's got the oh yeah, hi, how are you? So together yeah. we sound hilarious.
Don't
so
you know?
All the Minnesota
don't
you know?
Yeah. So
those are the people that kill people. I don't know if you see Making a Murderer, but all those people want to kill everybody.
That was Wisconsin, not Minnesota.
No, it, Wisconsin's like
yeah, same difference.
They're big on not confusing the two up here. They make Minnesota people make fun of Wisconsin people. Wisconsin people have a hard time understanding anything, so it takes them a minute. You know, no, because we stay in Wisconsin a little bit, and I was, you know, I one day I was walking around, you know, we stay up on a farm up there, and I'm walking, you know, I just walk down like a mile or two, and I'm walking, and it starts to rain, and this guy pulls up with this, like, you know, I don't know, this, like, van, and he's got, like, the seats are, like, made out of this, like, weird cheetah-looking material, and he's like, and he's like, you want to ride? I'm like, oh, God, this is Ed Gein's kid, you know? I'm like, you know, I'm gonna end up in a stew. They're going to make belts out of my nipples, you know? I'm like, what the hell is going on here, you know?
If you're lucky.
Exactly, you know? So, I don't know, I you know, but I don't think there's, I don't know, it's one of those things, yeah, so...
So we'll just leave
it. That's I digress. Fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this. Going on, like, we've been in this metal podcast for like over a half an hour. We've barely touched metal. We're not even coming close. It's like the baseball and Wisconsin mass murderer episode of Brutalitopia's podcast. Yeah. I like that. You know?
And making fun of various accents.
Yeah. No, exactly. Well, yeah. It's kind of fun to do.
We covered the tri-state area. We covered Overkill. We covered Suffocation. Yeah. So now we got anything from Connecticut we could think of, Keith?
Connecticut. Let me see.
There's nothing there.
Yeah, no, there's nothing.
Matt Harvey?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Is that where he's getting the surgery, or?
No, Matt Harvey from Mystic, but that's...
He's from Mystic? I didn't even know that. No, I didn't even know that. I thought... I don't even know. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he must have been born in, like, the blacksmith shop and, like, you know, that old part of Mystic where people go on vacation.
Yeah, I probably haven't been in Connecticut in, like, 30 years. I was in Bridgeport, and, like, I would just remember driving through Bridgeport thinking, okay, this is what death feels like. You know? It's seriously, like, I mean, Dante could have written a great novel about Bridgeport.
He was actually just in Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah. I never spent a lot of time there. Unless, you know, like you'd get drunk on the Metro North train and wake up in, where was it? You wake up in New Haven. That was always a fun thing. But besides that, I didn't spend a lot of time there.
Yeah, I've only been, my extended time in Connecticut was spent at Mohegan Sun. That's about it. At the Indian Casino.
What's going on back there? You guys get like a train running through there or what?
That could be me.
Oh, you got
it. Because I do live right next to a train.
Do you really?
Yeah, I live next to the L.
Oh, okay, okay. So I got this total image of, like, you're, like, living in that apartment they have in the Blues Brothers where, like, the train's going right, you know, you're
not
there
quite that close, no? But it's not far off either.
That's awesome, man.
So I guess going back to metal a little bit, are there artists or bands that you haven't written about that you have been intending to?
I don't know. Like, there's a lot of... It's weird, because, like, the stuff I end up really listening to now, there's maybe, like, three or four bands I listen to a lot, and there's not a lot... I mean, there's some funny stuff about them, but there's no real angle. I wrote one article about Prong years back. It's one of the worst articles I ever wrote. I didn't like the article at all. It was something to do with Chris Christie. I didn't think it was funny, but I just wanted to write something about Prong. I love Prong, man. I've always been a huge fan. But, you know, besides the fact that, you know, what's his name? The singer, what's his name?
Tommy Victor.
The fact that Tommy Victor looks like he's a gelato salesman on, like, the, you know, on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. Besides that, there's nothing really all that funny about Prong, but they just, every album's really good. So it's sort of, you know, one of those things. You know, no, I don't know. I mean, I've written, like, God, close to, like, 400 articles, so I think I'm probably weared out, you know, weared out. That's good use of the language. I probably weared out most bands that I was interested in. I always really liked Kalma. I always had a thing for them. And again, nothing really funny about them. You know, like there's nothing really funny about
anything.
You're
just trying to force something about it?
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's no point. And plus, honestly, like sometimes I'll write articles that I think are really good. And, you know, I'll write about a band. Like, I wrote one about Nuclear Assault. It's one of my favorite ones I ever wrote. And it's like, yeah, there's not really a lot of Nuclear Assault fans out there anymore. So it's sort of like, you know, people are like, all right, Nuclear Assault, click. You know, it's something else. So, you know, you got to – what I found is really if you're going to do bands, you got to stay in a range of about 10 different bands because there really aren't a lot of universally recognized metal bands. Once you get outside the, you know, the main ones, it's like
– What about Deathlock?
A little too niche, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but like, I mean, the stuff I listen to is, you know, usually a little bit different than what I write about, you know. I mean, I respect – I mean, I'm into most of the bands I write about, but it's like, you know, if you're not, you know, if you're not writing about King Diamond or Danzig or something like that, people really, you know, they're not that interested in it, you know. So,
what do you listen to that's like kind of outside of that realm that people wouldn't really suspect?
I don't know. You know, it's I go through stretches. Like a few months ago, I just went through a stretch where I couldn't stop listening to the Melvins. I listened to like just about every Melvins album straight through. You know, was really into that. I go through a lot of lately. This is embarrassing. I should definitely say this in a metal podcast.
This means you should definitely say it.
Blow all my credibility. But you know what music I like listening to in the summer? And it's like totally an old guy thing. But like when the summer shows up, I bust out some Steely Dan. You know, go deep cuts on Steely Dan, do my like white man's overbite dance and stuff. My kids will be like, this sucks, why are you listening to this? It's, you know, I don't know. So, you know, I'm in stuff like that. I listen, honestly, I've listened to a lot more hip-hop in the last like year or two. I went through this whole Tom and I've talked about this before. It's like you get in this Wu-Tang Clan thing where you just start going down the wormhole and trying to listen to everybody's solo albums five times, and you know that takes a lot. Yeah, you know, so you know, like
you're also doing that while you're reeling in the ears. How does that work?
Oh, that song sucks, though. I hate that. You know, I hated them for years because that was the only song I knew by them. And then I was like, oh, they got a lot of really great stuff. You know, what's weird about
they're saying 19.
Yeah, but you know, like Steely Dan, if you took Steely Dan lyrics for most of their songs and made them like metal songs, people would find them horribly offensive. But they sing them these really cheery ways. Like they have a song called Everyone Goes to the Movies, which I think it sounds like a commercial, like a jingle from a 70s TV show, but the lyrics are like these weird sort of pedophilia lyrics, and you're like, this is really screwed up, you know. So a few songs like that are just, you know, weird in that way. So yeah, don't bring up reeling, you don't talk about reeling in the ears that way.
Hit a nerve there.
Yeah, I'm just saying. No, you, the Bronx is off limits to you. Steely Dan off limits. Off nothing.
Hey, I don't mind Steely Dan.
I used to hate them, and then you know what got me was that song Uptown Baby, We Get Down Baby, you know, the rap song, and I was like, what is that sample from? And it was from Black Cow by Steely Dan, and I was like, wow, that's a
cool. Man, when I was going through my like Beastie Boys days, I was like finding everything they sampled like everywhere I could find it.
Yeah, well,
like Paul's Boutique opened me up to at least like 30 other albums.
Oh yeah, well, Paul's Boutique is my favorite. I mean, they sampled Johnny Cash on there,
the
you know.
That's the sample hip-hop album of, like, all time.
Oh, yeah, it's fabulous. It's like, I remember the first time I heard it, I'm like, they're sampling Johnny Cash. Okay, I'm ready to go, you know? And a lot of cool stuff on that.
They're pulling Zeppelin and, like, I think Sabbath, too, like, on that album.
Yeah,
like, ridiculous.
Well, and they're, you know, a lot of, like, you know.
No, I think they pulled a sample from The Crunge, which is such a weird Zeppelin song, too, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, no.
I found that confounded bridge.
well, it's funny. You end up, I think, you get into a lot of albums. And one of the things that I like about hip-hop, you know, perfect for, again, for a metal podcast, is you can go into the songs and you kind of like the sample and you end up, there's a whole other album you end up listening to or get into. I mean, there's a lot of, like, I get into, like, a lot of Isaac Hayes and, you know, some Steely Dan that way, actually, you know, so.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, we are so outside of the realm of, like, nobody's going to listen to this. They're going to be like, okay, they're talking about Steely Dan, freaking baseball, you know, Overkill got a mention 20 minutes ago, but it's like, you know, so.
When's the next reference?
Come on.
Like they're just barely hanging on there.
Yeah. So, you know.
Well, does anybody else have anything? I'm kind of opening the floor here. I'm guessing that's a no.
Stuff you've been listening to?
That's right. We're talking about stuff I've been listening to. Metal stuff. Okay, yeah. Now, this was a weird thing. The one metal album I've really gotten into this year is I love the new Megadeth album. I think it's fantastic. But the lyrics are just horrendous. Just awful at a level few things have ever been.
I mean, I haven't actually looked at the lyrics, but I did like the album a lot.
I mean, it's like the guitar work on it is just outrageous from beginning to end. There's just one song where he does like sort of a bluesy thrash song, and it's great. There are all these just great songs. I mean, it's one of my favorite. It's just one of the best Megadeth albums I've heard in years. I mean, it's probably the first one I've liked this much since Countdown to Extinction. But the lyrics could have been written by a Shetland pony. I mean, they're like embarrassing, man. Like, you're just listening to it, and you're like, what are they even about? It's like, you know what? It's like if you had a severe head injury, and then you listen to the Alex Jones show for 3 hours, like, that's what it would sound like. It was just, you know, it's all this, like, weird, stupid conspiracy stuff, and, like, you know, in every single song, he mentions something about the cancer. You know, we have to stop the cancer. Like, what? What are you talking about, bro? And, you know, so, I mean, his lyrics have gotten really goofy over the years. I mean, they were always pretty goofy.
Considering he's gotten really goofy over the years, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Hello, me, it's me again.
You know, and, like, I think that was sort of, like, that was, you know, when sometimes when you see people and they're starting to go nuts and, like, there's early signs of it, like, all of a sudden, you know, they're perfectly normal and all of a sudden they start.
Oh, here comes the decline.
Yeah. Like, they're out in the front yard naked with, like, you know, like cuddling like a reindeer, you know, one of those plastic reindeer or something like that. You see that moment, but then they're normal the rest of the time, and you think, I hope that's not a precursor to anything. When you listen to Sweating Bullets, that's the precursor song. That's like, you know, he was starting to lose it a little bit, and like, you listen to songs like Washington Is Next, you know, and it's just, it's a great song, but it's daffy, man. It's weird. So, you know, but the new album is, I mean, I swear by it. It's phenomenal. It's just really silly, you know? So, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's right. I don't know. Maybe
maybe we're the ones that are crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe the lizard people really have taken over, you know? Who knows, you know? I don't know.
Nah.
So let me ask you guys this. Like, what's the deal with, like, I mean, a lot of these, I've been having a hard time figuring this out. Like, a lot of these bands, like Megadeth, were sort of like, they were like these rebellious type bands. And now all of a sudden, their politics are really sort of almost mainstream conservative. And I don't know when that happened, because when I was growing up, like, you were supposed to rebel against, like, Reagan, you know? And now, like, you're supposed to really like Reagan, and you're still rebelling. I don't know what that trend is. I don't know if, like, I've just changed, or if the scene has changed, or what, but it just seems like a lot of people bitching about their taxes now, you know? I don't know.
Well, I guess some people just having trouble accepting, you know, people that are different, because, you know, a perfect example, Keith, is a show I saw years ago. I believe it was the Overkill 25th anniversary show at the Starland Ballroom in Sayreville, New Jersey. It wasn't Overkill. I'm sorry. This was the Accept show that I saw, but it was King's X opening for Accept,
mm-hmm.
which is a really cool bill to see, right? But then, you know, after King's X finished, and they were awesome. I mean, both bands were really great. You hear all the, like, the old metalheads, like, I get this fag off the stage, you know. And then there's the conservative side of that. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
I think it's also interesting to think that if you're a band that's, you know, been around for a long time, it's hard to, like, stay as rebellious as you were when you first started, when you're, you know, obviously, like, aging and changing your, you know, perceptions on things.
What's that old adage that it's easy to be a liberal in college and then you get a job and you start to become more conservative because you don't want to pay the taxes?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's weird though. Like, it's still like they're trying to. It's it still sounds like when you listen to Mustaine, he's still trying to like channel this rebellion thing, but it's also like, yeah, like you're a 60-year-old guy. What are you really rebelling against at this point? You know, like you are, the system has failed. Dude, you are the system. You're a 60-year-old wealthy guy, you know? Like,
you know. Just loses its luster.
It's just weird, you know? It's like, the one band I'd say that, I mean, there's still bands I think, you know, are on the, you know, more on the left and have stayed that consistent. Like Exodus Lyrics, I think, do to a degree. Sacred Reich definitely does, you know, but like for the most part, a lot of bands have become, it seems almost like this, you know, libertarian, but definitely the conservative end of libertarianism, which I just didn't think that was the case when I was growing up listening to them, but I guess today that's kind of more the norm, you know?
Well, I keep listening to you talking about different bands, and then I think back to this picture that I had posted the other day to my Facebook about, you know, bands hanging around to kind of become what they always feared.
Yeah.
So there's a picture of Derek Wilby from Sum 41.
Oh, God.
And, Derf, I know you saw this.
Oh, my God.
I saw that.
So good.
I have to, yeah, here, yeah. So the picture is just like him at the beginning of his career, middle of the career on the one side, and then him being fat. And it says, when you realize you wasted your time and became another casualty of society.
Nice. But, you know, it's weird, though. It happens. It's like, you know, I don't know when it happened for me. I mean, I most of my life I spend around, you know, high schoolers. I teach high school. So it's for me, it's very strange because, like, a lot of the stuff, more and more of the stuff that people are into seems more alien and bizarre to me. You know, like, I don't get a lot of what's popular in the mainstream at all. Where I used to just not get it, and I'd think it was kind of like funny or cute. Now, like, the other day I was up in, you know, this was when I was back at work, I was up and somebody was writing something and they were like, I was like, what are you listening to? And they were like, you know, Lupe Fiasco. And I thought she meant that things weren't going well. Like, I didn't really, you know, I thought she was saying, oh, this is a Lupe Fiasco. I didn't know who the hell she was talking about.
My brother is big into him, but yeah. I know it's him.
I didn't even know that either. I thought it was a woman, you know. So I, you know, but my first thought was, like, that was an expression that people were using, you know. It was like, oh, yeah, you just say, like, if things aren't going well, you say it's a Lupe Fiasco. So I had no idea, like, you know, and apparently.
I'm in a constant loop of problems. I'm in Lupe Fiasco.
And apparently you can't order an Adriana Grande or Ariana Grande at Starbucks, which, like, you know, I tried and they looked at me funny.
You think so. They would cash in on that one.
But it's so strange, you know, like there's just a lot of stuff that I used to just sort of at least be on the external side of that loop. And I just feel like popular culture is so far past what I understand anymore. So, you know, I just go back and listen to early Overkill. I'm happy, you know.
When it's taking down your computer power and
that's it. You know, who cares, man? I mean, they, you know, it's Overkill, man. Overkill. You know what, though? I'll give it to them, man. There's a band that's still writing great stuff, man. That last Overkill.
Yeah, they are. Oh. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they're very consistent.
You know?
A lot of the other thrash bands, like Megadeth was able to come back from 13, which was garbage, yeah. And then I never bothered with, like, Super Collider or whatever the hell
you're
it was.
You're lucky. That was the bottom. I mean, that was like, you know,
what, 13 or Super Collider?
Super Collider. Like, he claims he hit bottom after Rust in Peace. He hit bottom on that album. I mean, that was where he was like, you know, that he was just grasping for something. There's a country song on that album, dude. And it's the best song on the album. And it's horrendous. I mean, it's a disaster of an album. But no,
it's funny, you talk about hitting bottom after Rust in Peace. Did you see that article The Onion ran last year about that?
No.
It said, humanity's still producing new art as though Megadeth's Rust in Peace doesn't already exist.
I did see that one.
That's fabulous. That's great. Yeah.
Or I'll link you again. Just keep an eye on the chat. There's a bunch of things sitting in there for you. And I promise they won't destroy your power.
That sounds good. No, that sounds good, man. I got to check
that
out.
You know what? I'm like 5 minutes behind. But I feel like, you know, talking about bands that have shifted politics as they got older, I feel like Lamb of God has stayed pretty consistently to the left of things.
Yeah, I was listening to them at the gym the other day from their new album, and it's like, yeah, this sounds pretty much like they've always been.
Yeah, now you've got something to die for, that's for sure.
God damn it, Tom.
Fuck.
Now you've got something to die for.
Can you record that? Oh, I guess we do have it recorded.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
I do have that snippet now.
Well, and that's going to be my new ringtone.
I saw them. They headlined after Anthrax. Keith, that was a weird show. If you want to see a whole bunch of people confused and pissed off. You should have seen that show.
Oh, I imagine.
It was Power Trip, Death Heaven, Anthrax, and Lamb of God. That was back in January.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
My brother is, in his late 30s. He was bigger into metal in the early 90s. And he's like, he turned into the typical internet dissenter. He's just like, man, that band was sucked. The fucking worst band I ever heard in my life. I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, I don't think it's quite that bad. You could not like it, but man, people got fucking heated. Like, I just want to hear some fucking metal. You're so fucking edgy. You're so, like, hardcore.
Yeah, I'm very excited for the Death Heaven Carcass show coming up a week from yesterday here in Chicago for that very reason, because I think it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, maybe you'll get the King's Axe Accept experience that I got.
I would bet probably.
Although King's Axe does actually have a gay member instead of people just calling Death Heaven gay.
Well, like, I haven't gotten into them, but I'll tell you the band that, like, I'm okay, this is like, really, you edit this part out. It's wrong.
Heavy Saurus?
No, worse. I got to say, the other day, this was probably about a week ago, I have some Liturgy albums on that I was just, like, making fun of. I started actually listening to them, and I'm like, nah, this is actually really cool what they're doing. You know, I thought it was totally different than anything I had ever heard. And, like, I want to beat the guy up. You know what I mean? Like, whatever, HHH or whatever his name is. I have no idea, but it's
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yeah, but yeah, that guy, he's a wrestler, and he goes to Columbia, and but I mean, like, I listened to him, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is, I actually kind of started to really get, okay, yeah, there's like a theme of what they're doing. I get what they're doing. It makes sense. It's interesting. It's unique, you know? So I was like, okay, so now I like Liturgy, so I should just, like, go shoot myself according to what
they told me, you know? So. Yeah, you can't shave faces. I mean, I don't really know. I just know people don't like it, and I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me one way.
Surprise.
Yeah, you really probably should just kill yourself.
Well,
just
save yourself. Surprise, people got swept up in something in the internet just bashing people.
Yeah, and I get why.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've never seen that happen before.
Right.
If you listen to an interview with them, they're really annoying. I mean, they're you know, the reason I honestly had heard them, and I was like, I absolutely can't stand these guys. And then, but, like, the music is cool. It's really interesting. It sounds sort of like, you remember that stretch of time where all the hardcore bands became Hare Krishnas and they started putting that, like, Krishna core stuff out? You know what I'm talking about? Like, we're like, was it like?
I've heard of that.
Yeah, like Youth of Today. Like, the guy was a hard. They did. What was it? Shelter. You know, you had bands like that, and they were kind of interesting because they were mixing some stuff up. Like, this band, Liturgy, has some similarities to that, I think, where they have these, like, weird sort of Eastern chanting things happening in the background and all. You know, it's interesting stuff. I mean, like I say, edit this part out though.
Yes. there can be no record of me saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they were just in confidence, they're good, you know?
Well, I guess unless someone else has anything to add, I think we'll start wrapping things up here.
Okay.
Keith, I know you said, early on you're still in exile, but, is there anything special on the horizon that we can expect from the Tyranny tradition?
We'll put some stuff out. I honestly feel like for it to be worth doing, I gotta find another angle. Okay. I'm sort of bored. Honestly, I'm bored with the metal satire stuff. I still have some people writing for me who do some stuff that is just outrageously good. And so I dig reading it and I get a kick out of it. And there's other sites I see that do the stuff. And I there's enough of that out there. What I'm looking for is another way to do something that's interesting and worth reading. I don't know if it'll have anything to do with metal. I don't know what it's going to be. But if I do start getting back into it, it'll be to do it in a different way. So.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, so.
Well, everybody keep an eye out for that. And yeah. I guess with that, we'll wrap this thing up. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Keith, thank you for taking time out of your family reunion weekend.
Anytime, bro.
And everybody, we will bid you adieu until next time.
Bye.
Later.